The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app.
In my pots and pans, gotta have manna shepherds for my profit. I got her gutters, looking for the hummus, will be munching matzah. Changing my pots and pans, gotta have manna shepherds for my profit. I got her gutters, looking for the hummus, will be munching matzah.
Now, walk into the house. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we'll be interviewing, speaking with Mr. Alex Goldman-Scheinman of the Consul General's Office for the State of Israel serving the Midwest in Chicago. We'll be talking about the peace process, one of my favorite topics. Yes, indeedy. We've been talking about the peace process now for 18 years since I'm on air. We've been talking about the peace process. Anyway, we've got a wonderful assortment of a cappella music for you because for the next 6 weeks, yes, we are a cappella with one exception. Lagba Omer going to be coming up. It's going to be a Sunday. And we'll talk about a little bit why we don't do that, because it actually fits into this week's portion, which is the portion of Emor, which can be found in the book of Leviticus, which is chapter 21 and following there. And the Hasidic story at the end. You'll want to stay right where you are all the way to the end of the show to get this Hasidic story. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Hamas and the PA Fatah faction announced a unity pact, complicating the U.S. brokered peace talks with Israel that have already been floundering. Hamas is considered a terrorist organization, after all. The Obama administration called the move, quote, unhelpful, unquote, to the peace process and urged compromises on both sides. Yes, that's really being right up there, Mr. Obama, and your administration. Terrorist attacks in Israel this week included a woman was slightly injured after a bus in the French Hill section of Jerusalem came under a rock attack. An angry mob attacked a group of 25 children and their parents visiting the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Israeli police officers kept the mob away from the group. No arrests were made. A mortar shell was fired towards IDF soldiers patrolling southern Gaza. No one was hurt and no damage was caused. And finally, an Arab terrorist in Gaza fired 7 rockets into southern Israel, one of which narrowly missed a synagogue packed with worshippers in Sderot. We reported last week that leaflets demanding that Jews register with the government were handed out in front of the synagogue in Donetsk, Ukraine. The Russian-backed government said it was not behind the leaflets and the anti-Semitic act is under investigation. The synagogue in Nikolaev, Ukraine, was firebombed. Somebody just threw bottles of lit gasoline at the front door. Interestingly enough, a passerby miraculously was carrying a fire extinguisher. How often does that happen, that there's a fire happening at an arson and somebody just happens to be walking by with a fire extinguisher and quickly put out the fire? Sounds like a whole media ploy to me, maybe. The synagogue sustained only minor damage. And finally, a family was rescued from a car that exploded in front of the Craven Street Synagogue in London by worshippers at the synagogue. The synagogue was in the middle of services when 2 worshippers noticed a car on fire outside the synagogue. They ran to the car, pulling out an old man and infant from the car to safety before it exploded. Wouldn't have been me. I wouldn't have been looking out the window, but I'm glad they did, and everybody was safe and happy. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. We got a little music for you coming up firsthand. This is a new song by 613 Acapella. It's called Chosen. Like, what are we chosen for? Let's listen in.
The Nile ran fast through the desert that night, but the water, it was red. The kingdom was full of locusts, with frogs jumping in their beds. The Jews were slaving, building Ramses and Pito. Moses said, it's time to say Shalom. Pharaoh said, no, don't set them free. He was a bad guy who brought us misery. But God's strong hand began to show. And thus said Moses, let him go, let him go, or I'll plague Egypt some more. Let him go, Pharaoh, say the word and we're out the door. This nightmare needs to end today. Let our tribe march on. We won't let the water stand in our way. Do you want some afikoman? It's just unleavened bread. Those four questions that I asked before, I have one more. Can I have cake instead?
Cake instead.
We once were slaves in Egypt, and now we're not. So that's why we don't eat.
That's why we don't eat.
Or donuts or pancakes? Do you want some afikoman? You can feel free to say no, man. How about pride? God took us out, Dayenu. When we got to the sea, we walked right through. There was no time for bread to rise. Goodbye. Let us go, God, let us go.
Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We got up next, this is a rendition of a Don Olam. Let me tell you about a Don Olam. It's part of the liturgy. It is said every day at the very onset of our prayers. And then on Sabbath, on Shabbos, some people sing it at the end, very end of the prayers. As far as I know, you can sing any melody to the words of Adon Olam. And I've heard just like every possible. So this is a new group coming out. It's called Sheer Soul. And they have this whole medley of it. I'm not playing it. It's very long. It's like 9 minutes long, the whole thing. So we're just going to play a piece of it to highlight some of the ways that you could sing Adon Olam.
Etzinira, li es nasa bechef sokol, azay melech shemoni kra.
Viacha,
shalalala, 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 shalalala.
Of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Fenman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Mr. Alex Goldman Scheinman of the Council General for the State of Israel in Chicago. How are you today, Alex?
I'm fine, but as you, of course, know from the news, the peace process is not in his best situation.
Mm-hmm. Now, on the outside of my show, I happen to mention that today we'll be talking about the peace process. And then it occurred to me that we're celebrating our 18th year, and we here at the Jewish Hour have been talking about the peace process now for 18 years. It's like, I know if you process something and process something and process something, what will wind up happening is you have milk that will wind up looking like cheese whiz. I'm not sure if you know what this Michael is. You know what cheese whiz is?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what happens. And if you process things too much, they lose their whole, whatever they is, their whole makeup just gets totally, completely gone. Are we up to cheese whiz yet, Alex, in the peace process?
No, I don't think so that we're in this situation. First, you know, processes of dialogue between nations are taking a long time. Sometimes it's even more than 18 years. You have examples in all over the world that sometimes it takes even 50 or 100 years. And this is the first thing. So it's 80 years. It's not such a long time. And I hope we don't have to wait such a long time. Mm-hmm. Ahead, and also we don't have other option. There are two people that living in this geographical area, and we have to find by our own the solution that we can live together in peace and quiet.
Okay, now
so I don't think that we lost, you know, that we lost the taste. We still have from our side, of course,
you think
we still have the motivation to have an agreement.
Okay, the integrity of the milk is still there. Okay, we reported that Fatah, the Palestinian Authority, led by Mahmoud Abbas, is looking to form a unity government with his arch rivals Hamas, who are in Gaza. Could you talk about the ramifications on Israel of such an agreement, please, Alex?
Yes, it was really disappointing news to hear this, that 2 days ago, President of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, have an agreement with the terror organization, the Hamas. And we look at this as a giant step away from peace, which the President Abbas choose. As you probably know, the Hamas organization is a terrorism organization as it's defined by the United States, the European Union, Japan, Egypt, and other countries. This organization denies the Israel's right to exist, and it's implementing a terrorism attack against Israeli population, including rockets. More than 10,000 rockets were launched on the Israeli civilians in Israeli cities, and suicide bombers, etc. And also, it doesn't recognize the agreements which was signed between Israel and the Palestinians. So this step is really peculiar, and it doesn't lead to the peace process. And unfortunately, it seems that time after time, right before it is time to unveil an agreement, President Abbas takes actions that throw the possibility of making any progress. The first time he did this was when he made a unilateral decision to join 15 international conventions. The second was when he threatened the dissolution of the Palestinian Authority, and now by announcing the establishment of a coalition government with the terrorist organization Hamas. So it's really doesn't look good.
Okay, if you're just joining us, we are on interviewing Mr. Alex Goldman Scheinman, who is with the Consul General's Office of the State of Israel in Chicago. Okay, so you said that Hamas does not says that it does not have Israel does not have the right to exist. Fatah Mahmoud Abbas has said that he would never recognize Israel's right to exist. What's the difference in philosophy between the two?
The difference, and it's a pretty big one, that Mahmoud Abbas recognized the State of Israel. Now now the main dialogue is what it means, the State of Israel. And as we see the solution, it's two states for two people, one state for the Palestinian people and one national state for the Jewish people. And what the Hamas sees, he doesn't recognize any state that he calls Israel. He sees Palestine, which is his solution, is the Palestine, one state, Palestine from the sea to the river, from Rosh Hanikra to Rafah, they call it, and they will not recognize any state of Israel. And it's really, really serious difference between those two people, the two organizations. And
let me interrupt you for a second, Alex. If you look, I'm looking right now at the Palestinian Authority website, and they have a map of Palestine, and it's the whole entire country of Israel. So is there really a difference between the two in their philosophies?
I think there is a difference. Also, what I told you, and also by President Abbas several times, declared that he won't go on, he won't discussion, and he leaving the path of terror that other leaders adopted. And Mr. Haniya, the Prime Minister of the head of the Hamas organization, he's still going with the terrorism. He didn't leave this pattern. And because of this, many countries see the Hamas as a terror organization. I want to remind your audience that the quartet, which including the United States of America, European Union, UN, and the Russian Federation, they called Hamas to, you know, to have the three positions that he has to recognize Israel, that he has to leave the terror, and that he has to adopt previous agreements. Until then, they don't want to negotiate with it. So
Okay.
There is a big difference in between those two organizations. The Palestinian Authority is legitimized in the international relations, and the Hamas is not, of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The next question I'm going to ask you, I understand you're a diplomat and have to give me a diplomatic answer. The United States, the Obama administration, called this unilateral move on the part of Mahmoud Abbas of unifying with Hamas unhelpful to the peace process. Calling it unhelpful to the peace process is sort of like saying, oh dear. What is Israel's reaction to such a less than even wishy-washy response to to such a provocative move?
As I understand, you know, not just the United States, but many international actors want to see what will lead this agreement, what kind of government will be. To say unhelpful step, as I understand, it's to put the blame also on the Palestinians. Of course, I'm not the one who writes for Mr. Obama his speeches, but I think that the direction is to blame the Palestinians, Mr. Mahmoud Abbas, that he is not leading the peace process to the right direction. Maybe, you know,
it sounded like he said, that wasn't very nice. Now, was it, Mahmoud? I mean, you know.
You know, each one choose his own words and his own manners, but I think that the direction is really clear, that United States, as also other countries that we heard, are not satisfied from this kind of policy that Mahmoud Abbas chose.
Okay, there's also this idea that in the same statement, the Obama administration mentioned that both sides need to continue to make compromises. I've seen lots of compromises throughout the last 18 years on the part of the various Israeli administrations. I have not seen really any compromises being made by the Palestinians. So putting the fault of the peace process on equal terms seems to me to be unjust, unfair. Alex Goldman-Shimon.
Yeah, unfortunately, in the past few months, also thanks to the American Secretary of State John Kerry efforts, Israel and the Palestinian Authority, we were close to achieving an agreement, and Israel was ready to, you know, to make serious steps to push the peace process forward, including releasing Palestinian prisoners. That is not easy for us, of course, and unfortunately, President Abbas, time after time, you know, he doesn't make he has to have a decision, a serious decision, and he doesn't want to do it. Maybe remember our foreign minister, previous foreign minister, Abba Evan, and he has a famous He said once that the Arabs never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. And unfortunately, it seems like this miserable legacy is continuing. That time after time, when when a leader has to lead his people, Mr. Abbas prefers to go ahead, to go backward, not forward.
I've asked this question before, and I ask it periodically. It says, how is it possible to make peace with another party that's not interested in making peace?
I think it's... I'm not sure that the Palestinian is a party that don't want to make peace. I think they... Okay, of course, there are several voices. We have the Hamas that doesn't seem that he wants to make some peace, but there are also other moderate voices. And... voices that calls for peace, and they understand that peace will be also for the benefits of the Palestinians, economically, socially. It will, of course, lead and improve their situation in the area. And as we know, peace we are doing between enemies. No one thought during the 60s in Israel or elsewhere else that we can reach a peace process and a peace agreement with Egypt or with Jordan. But as we know, it's possible. I think there's a big interest, and we can see it in the polls of the both people. You can see the polls of the people of Israel and the polls in the West Bank about what they would like to see in the future. And both of the people want to see peaceful agreement and peaceful two states that living side by side. So. I don't know.
That's about the most honest thing you said is the I don't know. So that I'm going to accept it at that. I mean,
I'm a diplomat, but an optimistic one.
Understood. That's what you get paid for. I am. I had a pundit on my show once said, there's never going to be peace in Israel, which doesn't really matter. Just so long as there's a peace process, and every once in a while the Nobel Committee can award a Nobel Peace Prize to somebody engaged in the peace process, life will go on in Israel. What would you like to say about that, Mr.
I don't know. It sounds to me pretty cynical, this kind of view. I can say I'm not such young, but I'm not such old, but I remember that when I was 13 years old, there wasn't a peace process, but it really the situation between the two people was really peaceful. And I remember the market of Gaza, like a flourish market. Many Israelis, Jews, Israelis went there and bought lots of, stuff, vegetables, furniture, I don't know. And the Palestinians enjoyed this economical flourishment, and it was a really peaceful situation.
Maybe you just hit on the answer. Maybe the solution is not a two-state solution. Maybe, perhaps, just maybe, the solution is a unified Israel, which incorporates all of the entire territory, which I would like to see being called Israel.
I don't think it can be now, because today, we are dealing with this question about Israel as a democratic and Jewish state, and if you're going to this solution, you cannot reach to be democratic and Jewish. I don't think that you can go to the solution of one state that includes all the citizens, the Israelis and the Palestinians. Besides this, both of the people and both of the leaders are willing to see two different states that living side by side and enjoying each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're talking about side by side. Is the wall going to come down at that point?
No, I don't think. That the solution is a wall. The solution is a good neighborhood. Again, we have this peace process with the Jordanian, with the Egyptian, and we see the fruits of this peace process. We see the coordination and the partnership in economical or in the other projects. We have, that Israel, we have good technologies, we have good achievements, and we're ready to share it with our neighbors.
Okay, so being that in the case then, you have geographically a divided Palestinian people. They are going to want to have a contiguous landmass, which would create a divided Israel. So right there, it's like, is Israel divided or is Palestine divided? How does that hurdle get overcome, Alex Goldman-Scheinman?
Again, you are going really forward. I think we can have with our brains ideas, we can have a solution for this. It was spoke about tunnels that would be under the ground or others, the technological solutions, how to connect between Sector Gaza and between Gaza Strip and the West Bank. So I think it's something that we can solve, and there's really serious and profound questions about Jerusalem, about the identity of the two states, about borders that when we'll solve them, I think, you know, we can with... you know, in this situation today, I can also say about mistrust. When you sit and speak several months, negotiate, and you really want to have a peace, and suddenly one day you see the person that sat the same table with you going and signing agreement with a terrorist organization and doesn't mean to promote the same goal that you wanted to promote, I think you can speak about mistrust. When we will establish the trust between us, I think we can also solve these technical problems about how to, you know, to connect between territories and how to connect between cities.
Okay. Okay, so right now the peace process is in a state of pause due to this these unilateral moves that the Palestinian Authority is making. What do you envision will be the next step once the pause has stopped?
I think, you know, the steps are pretty clear. We have to sit and decide about all the questions that we still didn't solve them. I hope that President Abbas will leave this miserable agreement with the Hamas, and then we can come back to the dialogue table, and we can discuss all the questions that we have on the table.
Yeah, it's not likely going to happen.
There's no other way, you know, to make a peace agreement between two people, to, you know, a unilateral. We have to sit and agree about the questions that interesting us, that interesting our people.
Can an Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement include Hamas?
Listen, the name Hamas is not the main thing. If Hamas will accept the conditions that we spoke about and about the quartet, of course he can be part of this agreement.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are people that are saying, well, if he agrees, he won't be Hamas.
Right. My grandmother used to say, my grandmother used to say, if Yazida would have wheels, he'd be a bus. You know, so... Yeah,
this
if is Hamas is going to say, their whole raison d'être is to annihilate Israel. And you're telling them if they take away their whole personification and recognize Israel and they become good boys, then you can sit down. I think that in 18 years from now, when I'm celebrating my double high anniversary, I think, unfortunately, we're still going to be talking about the peace process, Alex Goldman-Scheinman.
If it will continue like you say, this will be unfortunately the position. But as I say to you, I'm pretty optimistic, and I remember a better time between our people. I think both of the states, both of the people, can reach much more from peace agreement and from peace situation than it's going now.
Okay, we're going to leave it at that. We're going to thank you, our guest. If you just tuned in, you missed it, you're going to have to go to RabbiFinman.com. Wonderful interview. Thank you so much, Mr. Alex Goldman-Scheinman of the Israeli Consul in Chicago. And thank you so much.
Thanks.
And we reserve the right to call you back and to keep us apprised of any developments.
Okay, thank you very much, Rabbi Feinman.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. 542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. I love it when diplomats give these very long, profound answers, and then at the end say, I don't know. That was classic. I wish I could be a diplomat. If I would be a diplomat, if I could, like, think like a diplomat, the my problems would just go away, because I would just, like, answer questions in such a non-way, and everybody would be happy. So, but anyway, speaking of happiness, I'd like to bring a little more happiness and joy into your life. This is up. This is classic. This is Bitachon. This is actually a revival of Bitachon. This is not from 20 years ago, but this was recently done. I'm not sure where the concert was, but this is Bitachon live in concert singing one of their classics, Ani Mamim, I Believe.
Sing along with us. They are this. Ve'af al pi she'avo. Ve'af al pi she'avo. That's what I want you to sing. Ve'af al pi she'avo. Let me hear you. Come on, we gotta hear you. It's a full house. Keep it up.
Why go to a hospital? Get healthy. At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hey,
Shul Fenneman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. People asked me, this year specifically, that how is it possible, for example, that we read about what you need to do on Yom Kippur during the week of Passover, okay? The week right before Passover, we read the story of Achrimos Kedoshim, Achrimos, and in it, it describes how the high priest did his thing in the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. So, of course, I had to do this whole thing about how it's really just a preparation. And the real deal is that we really don't read about the holidays at the time of the holidays. There's one exception. And that happens to be in this week's portion, which is the portion of Emor, which is chapter 21 and following in the book of Exodus. It lists there the various holidays which we are to celebrate. And one of the things that it talks about over there, which is chapter 23, verse 9 and following, talks about the Omer, which is what we are in now. The Omer is a volume grain, a volume measure. It's listed as being about 42 and a fifth eggs. So if you could take 42 and a fifth eggs and put them into a basket, that would be the size of an Omer basket. The word Omer has no translation into English because it's a measurement and it is what it is. What they would do the second day of Passover, in Israel, remember there's 7 days, so the first day is a holiday. The last day is a holiday, not like in America and outside Israel where the first 2 days are holidays and the last 2 days are holidays. There, the first day is a holiday. The second day is not holiday. It's called Chol HaMoed. It's sort of in between day. They would harvest an Omer size, one of these baskets filled with barley, and they would bring it as, quote unquote, a wave offering on the altar. They'd pick it up, the Kohen would wave it over the altar, and then they would offer it. And what this did was announce that the new crop season, the new produce season has begun, and you can eat all of your harvested grain because there is a prohibition of eating new grain, according to Judaism. The grain that you eat has to have been harvested before the second day of Passover. If it was harvested after the second day of harvest, like Passover, like in America over here, when do we harvest? We harvest in October. So technically speaking, that grain should not be used until like last week, the end of last week. This is called Chadash and Yashan. You're supposed to not eat Chadash, which is new grain. You're supposed to eat Yashan, which is old grain. It is accepted in Israel as a rule of thumb, generally. Outside of Israel, there are those people who want to be stringent on themselves and only eat the old grain, but for the most part, it was never accepted universally as to eating specifically old grain. This count, and then they did it once, and then they would count today's day one of the Omer. And after that, they would count today's day two of the Omer. Not that they offered an Omer every day. They just did it on the second day of Passover. And then they would count all the way up to 49. The 50th day was the holiday of Shavuos, the Feast of Weeks, as it's called, W-E-E-K-S, which is based not on a calendar day, as for, say, the Passover is the 15th day of the first month. And Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the seventh month. Yom Kippur is the 10th day of the seventh month. And Sukkot is the 15th day of the seventh month. The holiday of Shavuos comes 50 days after the first day of Passover. Which you might say, well, the first day of Passover is the 15th. But during biblical times, when the months could have been either 29 or 30 days, depending on the sightings of the moon's cycle, so Shavuos could have been one of 2 days. Could have been either the 6th or 7th of the month of Sivan. Now it's always the 6th because we have our set calendar, so we know when it is, but we still do this business of counting. Now, what's the point? Why do we bother with all this counting stuff over here? Well, it commemorates the fact that the Jews, when they left Egypt, were told, well, in 49 days, you're going to get the Torah. And every day they counted, today's day one till we get the Torah. Today's day two till we get the Torah. Now, between you and me, when you're counting towards something in anxious anticipation, you normally count down. So as you get closer, the number gets smaller, and you feel that you're getting closer to where you have to be, rather than, like this way, as you're counting day one, day two, day three, what you feel is like you're further away from where you were. So how is it that the Torah mandates this specific way of counting? Well, there is a rule generally that says you always increase in dealing with holy. You don't go down in dealing with holy. You want to have more holy. So that means to say that every single day that during these 7 weeks between Passover and Shavuos, we want to be increasing in holiness. And that's what we do. Hence, we have the counting of the Sefirah, as it's called. Now, what's Sefirah? Sefirah has nothing to do really with Omer, per se. Omer was this unit of measurement, which was offered of barley in the temple. Sefirah refers to character traits. What would we like to see occur between Passover and Shavuos? We would like to see a person's persona improve 49 steps worth. Now, whether that be 49 meaning 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1, or do we want it to be 49 meaning 1 times 2 times 3 times 4, so that the number at 49 is astronomical? Whatever floats your boat, whatever works, whatever you can do. We're not asking you to stand on the ground and jump on a roof. But what we are looking at is that each and every single day, a person look specifically, how can I make today better than yesterday? You have to do this every day, of course, but now more so. We started this with the holiday of Passover, which is, what's unique is no leavening. We eat this flat cracker stuff. It doesn't have to be a cracker. It's understood that there are people who know how to make soft matzahs, and I would like to find somebody who can make a soft matzah because I think it would be really awesome. But we eat these crackery things, and they exercise our humility, because the difference between a piece of bread and a piece of matzah is just the air in the bread. The bread rises. There's an addition of CO2. You have the glutinous grain stretching over there, the gluten over there. And gluten's become a very popular word because everything's now gluten-free. I see gluten-free water on the shelves. Yes, of course. For 1 week, we exercise our humility. It becomes our starting point again, so that we're now into the world. We're now working up to our world. We're now working up. Very interesting thing. Generally in the temple, all of the flour offerings were matzah. Except, there were two exceptions. One of the major exceptions was a special offering which was offered on Shavuos, which was chametz. The shtei halechem, as it's called, the two loaves of bread, which had to be made out of chametz. The whole year we're doing matzah because you have to be humble before God. Here's a time where the Almighty says, you're celebrating the giving of the Torah. I'm giving you a special present. I really want you to be in such a state that you're not going to be humble at that point. You're not going to be, well, okay, whatever. But you're going to be into it. You're going to be excited about it. There's one very big difference between matzah and bread, and that's the taste. Matzah tastes like nothing, really, between you and me. I tell people, I mean, I happen to like eating matzah during Pesach. I usually don't eat it during the rest of the week, the year, unless I have to. But between all honesty, I tell people, please take your matzah out of the box. So that way, when you're eating, you don't you know where the matzah ends and the box begins, because you might get confused and start actually munching on the box. Bread tastes good. Between you and me, I could eat, when you're talking about shmura matzah, I could eat a shmura matzah, maybe a shmura matzah and a half in one sitting. I could knock a half a loaf of bread off, no problem. Okay, where does it go? It's because there's this delectableness about bread. When we're approaching our Judaism, yes, humility is the way to go as a basis, as a foundation. But there has to be that excitement. There has to be that yes factor to it. That's what we're working up to. Speaking of working up to, we've got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. We got the Hasidic story coming up. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herr Schulfenman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Would you like to get in touch with me? The way to do that would be to go to my website, www.rabbifinman.com. What will you find at rabbifinman.com? Well, archived editions of the show. Did you miss anything the last couple of weeks? Go there and listen. If you want to hear something, if you want to like do a marathon, this is really way cool. You could go to Stitcher or iTunes or jcastnetwork.org, and every podcast that we've ever put up is still up there. On my website, we only have room for about 5 or 6. But if you really want to go back and just do some classic Jewish Hour, that's the way to do it. Podcast. You could do it on your phone. Like if you're doing like a road trip, say like across America, you could listen to 50 Jewish Hours, and it would get you across, because I think that's about how long the travel time is across America. It'd take you about 50 hours of driving. And you'd... Let me know how it goes when you do that. I'd really be interested in some market research. Anyway, you also have the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U story, and the very important donations page. Thank God we have paid for April. And it's interesting how it came in. I was asking for 36s to come in. If we have a bunch of people giving 36s, so some 36s did come in, but we made it, believe it or not, with 10s and 5s and 3s. And I want to thank all those people who donated 10s and 5s and 3s. Don't think your donation is not important. I can't afford to send a thank you note, because if you send me a $3 donation, it's going to cost me 50 cents just for the stamp. So we appreciate it, and we wish that you could do it all the time. And tell your friends, if every listener gave $3 a month to this show on a regular basis, without me asking, I could spend 3 minutes more every show doing something else besides asking you to give money. So go to the rabbifinman.com, go to the donations page, click on the amount, any amount you want, it's fine. It's all appreciated. It's all good. It all goes to paying for the show. 100% of your donation goes to paying for the show. Don't like doing internet? No problem. I understand. Send your donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Speaking of donations, about 150 years ago, there lived a rabbi in the city of Premishlam, which is located many miles east of Grosse Pointe Farms, who was a leader, a Hasidic leader, but really had an aberration for the physical world. He could not physically lie down in a bed at night knowing that there was money in his house. He would have to go give it away. So needless to say, this family was not exactly opulent. It once happened that somebody came requesting a piece of advice from the rabbi, and out of gratitude, paid the rabbi 300 rubles. It's a tremendous amount of money. The next person who came in to ask for advice was a poor farmer had five daughters of marriageable age. He didn't have enough money to buy clothes for them, to support a dowry, to give any kind of anything for a wedding. He needed a ton of money. The rabbi asked him, how much money do you need? He said, I need 300 rubles. The rabbi thought for a second and said, come back in an hour. An hour went by, and he gave him the 300 rubles. Now, his son, who was witness to this whole scenario, said, listen, you got to explain something to me, Dad. Ta, he called him probably. I knew you weren't going to keep up the money, but what'd you make the guy come back in an hour for? He said, I had a very interesting thought when he said that he needed 300 rubles, and I have 300 rubles in my drawer. I went, yippee, I can help this guy. But then a thought occurred to me, wait a minute. Why should he get 300 rubles? That's a lot of money. I can support 10 families with 30 rubles for a month. I could support 30 families with 10 rubles for a week. I had to think this through. So you came with the conclusion that go with your first impulse, because we all have this evil inclination, which is trying to get us not to do the right thing. And so since all three of these things seemed right, only one of them really could. The other options were not. So he said, I went first impulse, because if I decided the wrong thing, I never would have had my evil impulse decide what to do. That's going to do it for us. We want to thank you so much for listening in. We hope you had an excellent time listening in, as much as I do. I really enjoy this. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week, and we hope to see you again next week. Take care.